Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Forgiveness is hard work. And anybody who tells you any different is either lying or their love has not been tested to the limits. As Christians, we know that we're supposed to forgive others. Jesus says, if you forgive others their trespasses, then your Father in heaven will forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. But that's easier said than done, because knowing and doing are entirely different things. C.S. Lewis writes, everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive. Forgiving small stuff is easy, but how do you forgive parents who abused you or walked out on you? How do you forgive a spouse who cheated on you, or a rebellious child who runs away and gets mixed up in drugs in the streets? How do you forgive a brother or sister who steals your inheritance? And how do you forgive a boss who fires you or an employee who steals from you? How do you forgive a friend who betrays your confidence and trust? How do you forgive 9/11 or the Rwandan genocide or the Nazi Holocaust? Lewis says, if we really want to learn how to forgive, perhaps we had better start with something easier than the Gestapo. He encourages us to begin with smaller offenses committed by the people in our close circles, and yet it is the people nearest and dearest to us whose slights cut the deepest. In the book of Genesis, Joseph faced a formidable offense to forgive. His own brothers had sold him into slavery. They'd lied. They told their father that he was dead, and then they forgot about him as he languished in an Egyptian prison for many years. And through a series of miraculous events that we don't have time to tell, Joseph eventually got out of prison. He rose to prominence in Pharaoh's court, and he won the king's trust when he used this divine ability to interpret dreams. Joseph became Pharaoh's right-hand man, and he was put in charge of a huge economic relief effort to save people from starvation. Our Old Testament lesson begins after Joseph's elevation. His brothers have come down from Canaan to Egypt to buy grain. They want to save their families from starvation, but to buy grain, they have to do business with Joseph. They, of course, don't know it's their brother. He sounds like an Egyptian. He looks like an Egyptian. He walks like an Egyptian. And yet, when Joseph finds himself in a position to exact revenge upon his brothers, he doesn't do it. Instead, he forgives them. And yeah, I know, he messed with them a little bit, but he didn't cause them any real harm. Joseph forgave his brothers and promised to provide for their families. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. He wept and he embraced them, proving his genuine love for them. And he even told them repeatedly not to be afraid. Now, how in the world could Joseph summon the courage to have mercy on scoundrels like his brothers? How do we? Only through God's mercy and grace, which we have received in Jesus Christ. We love because he first loved us. We forgive because he first forgave us. I know sometimes we're tempted to say, but they don't deserve it. They don't deserve my forgiveness, and they don't. None of us deserves forgiveness, and that's precisely the point. The psalmist says that God does not deal with us according to our iniquities or repay us according to our transgressions, which is a fancy, poetic way to say that God doesn't give us what we deserve. Instead, he gives us grace. We don't deserve God's grace. And I know that we don't like to think about it this way, but we start out of the gate as enemies of God. Romans 5 says, while we were still weak, ungodly, sinners, and enemies, We were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. And on the cross, Jesus prayed for his enemies. He prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He had mercy on us, even though we don't deserve it. He forgave us. He remained faithful, even though we are faithless. Now we're called to do the same for others. In our epistle, the Apostle Paul writes, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." We're called to forgive as God in Christ forgave us. What does that little word "as" mean? It means in the same way. We are called to forgive in the same way that God forgave us. And he did it freely and fully and unconditionally with no strings attached. And so, it's not something that we could earn or buy or win, and we certainly don't deserve it. But he gave it to us by grace. And in response, forgiveness. In response, we forgive our brothers and our sisters. That's also what we pray in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Have you ever thought about what you're really saying when you pray that? Lord, forgive me in the exact same way that I forgive other people. It's kind of sobering. It's maybe a little scary to think about, because if we don't demonstrate love and mercy and forgiveness in our relationships with others, and then we pray that God would treat us the same way, that is a really dangerous situation. And so instead, we can pray like this: Father God, help me to love this person. Help me to forgive them. Show me that they are in need of your mercy as much as I am, and that I am just as much of a poor, miserable sinner as they are. And that if it wasn't for your grace, none of us could stand before you. David Peter writes about a preschool child who was trying to learn the Lord's Prayer and got some words wrong, but I think still had the heart of it right. She recited the words as she heard them, but they weren't quite accurate to the original text. She said, "Forgive us our trash baskets as we forgive those who put trash in our baskets." And indeed, even in the church, there are others who put trash in our baskets. They deliver the corrupting talk of bitterness and anger, clamor, slander, and malice. Those things that Paul tells us to put away. He tells us to take out the trash. And we do so by forgiving. We don't let the wrongs done to us become putrefying, rotting nastiness that stinks and poisons the air and our spirits. We release to God the wrongs that have been done to us. We have been forgiven the trash in our baskets that stink to high heaven. And so we also forgive the trash that others put in our baskets. And in view of God's mercy in Christ, we're forgiven. In the power of his mercy, we forgive those who put trash in our baskets and ask God to forgive us for our trash in our baskets. In the name of Jesus, amen.